Since Sunday, and for those of you who were with me on Monday, you'll remember me discussing the massive pro-Palestinian protest that was held on Sunday on the Sydney Harbour Bridge in Australia. And ever since then, a fierce debate has erupted across Australia, not just about the Middle East, but about the limits of protest, freedom of speech, and the politics of symbolism. Some political leaders in Australia are now proposing new restrictions on public demonstrations, including limits to how often iconic landmarks like the Harbour Bridge can be used for political marches. At the same time, tensions are mounting in universities. Student-led walkouts are spreading. There was one just today in Melbourne. And federal leaders are under increasing pressure to clarify their positions on the war in Gaza. To help unpack all of this, I'm joined now by Justin Amler, who is a policy analyst at the Australia, Israel, and Jewish Affairs Council, known as AJAC. He's also an ex-South African. It's always good to speak to one of ours. Justin, thanks so much for joining us again. We last spoke to you on Monday when you took us through what had actually transpired. Since Sunday, what has been the debate in Australia about this protest? And is it likely to change anything?
Good afternoon again, Paula. Always good to be here. Look, I think that the protest from last Sunday, because of the sheer size of this scale, because they were some of the largest protests we've seen in this country, has definitely opened up the debate. And a lot of the debate is around about using symbols of symbols that are supposed to be unifying symbols for protests and demonstrations. I'll give you an example. I mean, the Sydney Harbour Bridge is it's an iconic Australian landmark, and to be used in a kind of political expression is really rubbed a lot of people up the wrong way. This isn't a symbol. This is a symbol that's supposed to unify Australians, and we've seen from that it's really dividing and creating a lot of debate. Not to mention the sheer inconvenience of having one of the major arterials in Sydney being shut down, affecting everyone. So it's definitely it's had a larger effect on the on Australians more than any other protest in the past, and there have been a lot.
Justin, obviously the organizers did get permission from the police, and we spoke about that on Monday. And you talking about the symbolism of the march happening on the Harbour Bridge being powerful. What did it represent to you? I'm curious in your opinion, and what message do you think it sent that the organizers of one of the biggest anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian protests in Australia were able to protest on such an iconic site?
Well, I actually think it's less about free expression and more about coercion, because they are holding up cities and they're forcing people so they don't have a choice. They're literally throwing it in their face by basically making it impossible to avoid this. And there's a form of coercion because it's stopping people from going about their daily business. So this isn't just about people expressing their opinions, it's about affecting every single person in the city from going about and doing the things that they should have the right to be able to do without being disrupted. So it's a form of disruption, really, and to kind of intimidate a lot of people. Seeing these kind of marches going across their city definitely has an effect on most people, and well, on anyone who comes across it, but it does force people to have to change their daily routine to try avoid it. So it's definitely, I think, a form of intimidation. It's literally throwing it in people's faces and forcing them to have to confront it, or not necessarily confront it, but to be unable to avoid it, I would say.
What's your take on the calls that we're hearing to restrict future protests on the Sydney Harbour Bridge? I mean, do you think that those calls will be successful?
Well, it's interesting, although the march was given permission, well, actually the police didn't want it to go ahead, but then the court overruled it and said it could go ahead. So I think that because it's been thrown so much into the public, and it's affected people, there's definitely that debate going on about not using these kind of symbols. But what the organizers actually said at the time was that even if they didn't get permission, they were going to march anyway. And that's what I mean about this kind of intimidatory tactics. Now, a lot of these protesters or a lot of these march organizers, it's not just about their free expression. They're also very much anti the country itself in a way. For instance, you don't see at any of these kind of marches, you don't see any Australian flags displayed. You saw the Palestinian flags and you saw some flags of terrorist groups, but never the Australian flag. In fact, there was one Australian flag in the Melbourne protest and was only brought out to be burnt. So it just shows you it's not really about people's free expressions, about intimidating people, ordinary people in a way. That's how I look at it.
It would be interesting to see what would happen if they went ahead without permission and how far the Australian government and police would be prepared to go. But Justin, I want to ask you, I was picking up a report that today the University of Sydney removed a Palestinian flag from the office window of Dr. David Brophy, who I think is one of their professors. Yes, he is. And the university cited its updated flag policy. But the doctor refused to take it down and he framed the display as an ethical stand and exercise in free expression amid the Gaza crisis. Do you have any more information about what happened, what is happening with that scenario, and how you think academic institutions should respond in moments like this?
Look, I don't really have any more information on that specifically, but in terms of academic institutions, I think universities have been the ground zero when it comes to these protest movements. We've seen it everywhere, in America, in Australia. Okay, I don't really know how much in South Africa, but it's certainly been in the UK. So a lot of these protest movements start out at these kind of academic institutions, and a lot of that comes from professors who basically preach their message. Universities have become almost like a battleground for ideas, which is what universities are supposed to be, except a lot of these ideas are now poisonous. They have no issue holding up, for instance, Palestinian flags and even praising Hamas, but if you come there with an Israeli flag and suddenly it creates a whole resistance and violence and all
Uproar.
kinds of things. So universities are a real, real issue. And of course, future leaders come from universities. So it's very much the ground zero when it comes to, I guess, the future battle for this kind of protest movement. So yeah, so it makes so from what I hear from the professor, it's not exactly a surprise because that's where a lot of these poisonous messages do come from.
And as you say, the repercussions are quite dire. I mean, also today, hundreds of students have skipped classes across major Australian cities, Sydney and Melbourne included, in protest, not necessarily to the professor, but in general, they're calling for institutional divestment from weapons manufacturers and stronger support for Palestine. Do you think that this marks a generational shift in how the conflict is being understood in Australia, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict?
Yeah, I do. And I think this, and I would just emphasize that this hasn't just happened in the last couple of years since October 7th. It's been happening for more than that, for probably a couple of decades. Universities used to be a place of fierce ideas and thoughts, but now they've become more a training ground for activism and protest. And I think that is what is happening. The Palestinian, Israeli-Palestinian conflict for many reasons, has become almost the focal point of protest movements. No one's interested in other conflicts to any of the degree that there are the Israeli-Palestinian one. So the universities have really become a hotbed of a lot of poisonous ideas and activism. In fact, a lot of, it's quite interesting. I saw, I can't remember which protest it was, but the person leading the protest was like a 32-year-old individual, in his second or third year of a degree. So, it's less about education, unfortunately, and more about activism. And that's, again, it's not unique to Australia. We see that in America, we see it in the UK. So that's and it's a real concern because these are essentially the cream of the next generation's leaders, or even this generation's leaders. So it's definitely a major, major issue. And this has, in my opinion, has really fueled a lot of all these marches we see all around the world.
What's your take on where the government sits right now? Because the Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, has intensified international pressure on Israel by pursuing talks with Netanyahu and condemning disruptions to humanitarian aid into Gaza. At the same time, he has reiterated support for a two-state solution and reiterated Australia's sovereign foreign policy decisions. Do you think that the federal government is walking a fine line?
I think the federal government has essentially crossed that line. It talks about Australians' sovereignty, which is fine, and then makes a point of not saying it won't follow necessarily the US line, but it is very much following the European line. So it's walking on a fine line, but the point is it's been highly critical of Israel for a number of years. It's quite clear that it's inevitably going to recognize the Palestinian state, I would say at the General Assembly coming up in September. So it will very likely be following France's lead and Britain's lead and Canada's lead. So I think there is a it's trying to be fair, but all its criticism is very much one-sided. It's trying to portray itself as being fair, but the criticism is very much one-sided. It's very critical. Just recently, just the other day, it announced 20 million more dollars for aid into Gaza, and in this, statement, it called on Israel to increase aid or allow unimpeded aid going into Gaza. But what it didn't mention in that statement was anything about Hamas, which has been deliberately diverting aid, stealing aid. So it's hard to say it's completely fair when it doesn't mention the one of the main instigate. Well, it doesn't mention the main instigator of this war, the one who actually started the war. It doesn't mention any of their actions. So, releasing a statement calling on Israel to do certain actions while omitting the party that actually started the conflict doesn't seem very fair to me.
No, it certainly doesn't seem fair at all. And, we were talking about the symbolism of the Sydney Harbour Bridge, but at that march on Sunday, there were inflammatory slogans and symbols, notably chants like "From the River to the Sea" and images depicting Israeli figures as Nazis, and even an Al-Qaeda flag was sighted. So we have these growing concerns about public safety and heavy police deployment that has compounded calls for reforms to Australia's protest permit laws. And we'll keep following that story with Justin Amler, who is a policy analyst at the Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council. Thanks for staying up late for us and for always being available and giving your insight on what's transpiring. We appreciate it.